You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Hey, what's up, everybody? This is Pro Football Hall of Famer and former Buffalo Bill Andre Reed. You're listening to Nate and the Fellas on Circle the Wagons podcast. Nobody circles the wagons like the Buffalo Bills. Go Bills.
Where else would you rather be than right here, right now?
Welcome to the Circling the Wagons podcast, a podcast discussing the Bills all year round with interviews, news, recaps, and insightful fan discussion. Most times, here's your host and lifelong Bills fan, Nate.
The Buffalo Bills.
I love you guys.
Love you, John.
The Buffalo Bills beat the Pittsburgh Steelers 31-17 on Monday night in Orchard Park to advance to the divisional round of the playoffs and face the Kansas City Chiefs next week. Hello, everyone. Welcome to Circling the Wagons, a Buffalo Bills fan podcast. I am your host, Nate. Guys, thank you so much for joining us. We are going to discuss this Bills victory in depth. We're going to discuss the Bills offense, Josh Allen. We're going to talk about the Bills defense standing up today, even though they were riddled with injuries. We're going to go over all the injuries as well. A lot of fun things to talk about, but the Bills got out of the first round with a win. They will face the Kansas City Chiefs for the first time in the postseason in Buffalo in probably 30 years, or I don't know how long it's been. It's been a while, but the Bills are going to play the Chiefs in Buffalo for once, so we're all excited about that. But first, this episode is brought to you by the TwinSpire Sportsbook at DeLago. If you're in the Western New York or Central New York area, do yourselves a favor and check out the DeLago Resort and Casino on Exit 41, off Route 90 in Waterloo, New York. I'm joined by my co-hosts, John and Mike, to discuss this tremendous, amazing Buffalo Bills win. It's not all 100% positives, of course, because we're going to talk about the injuries, but how are you guys feeling? Just emotions. We just got done watching the game, and we're talking about it. Are you guys still riding a high, or what?
Go Bills!
John, you're feeling, you're Super Bowls, John, right?
Yeah, I'm always Super Bowls, John, until they lose. But they've had a great run. Everything's looked great. The only concern is the injuries, obviously, on defense. Bernard being out, Milano's direct replacement is not good. You know, you're seeing a lot of AJ Klein today, Kari Elam, Cam Lewis, and I know AJ Klein actually had a decent game and Kari Elam had his moments, but you don't want to see that, you know, a lot, getting those three players necessarily getting a lot of snaps.
Well, let's John, let's, unless you want to add more to that, can we run down the injuries then?
Just yeah, so people... my only thought was that the offense still, I mean, outside of Gabe Davis not playing today, hasn't had very many injuries at all to speak of. So they need to step up and be the offense that they've been in the past and that they've shown flashes of this year. I mean, obviously, I mean, Josh Allen's a touchdown leader for the year and he's amazing, but they just need to limit the mistakes like they did today. They haven't had many penalties at all throughout the year. They limited the turnovers today. That needs to continue throughout the run if they want to have success.
That was huge too. I mean, just the fact that they got two turnovers and they limited their own turnovers, 100%. Mike, yourself, feeling pretty good after the win?
I'm really excited about the results and just win and move on. That's what we say this time of year, especially seeing some scores around the league and how the fans reacted, right? Like the Cowboys just losing to the Packers, just it seems like uniformly had a meltdown. Dak isn't the answer. We got to fire the coach. We got like, and the Dolphins just fan base in shambles. So I hate to think if we lost this game, I don't know where we have to end up for it to be a successful season. It almost feels like, I know you said in the past, like we're playing with house money because of the injuries. I feel like because of the injuries to other teams, with Burrow being out, like the way to the Super Bowl is wide open for the Bills. And I'm very excited to get this game behind us. I wish there were a couple of things the Bills could have done better to really put this game away. Now that it's over, it was a great experience because the Bills won decidedly, and it was a game all the way to the end. It wasn't 50-0 and we can go turn the TV off and do something. It was like exciting game front to finish, but you didn't feel like you were going to have a heart attack. It was perfect. But I thought particularly going into the half, the Bills could have done a much better job when they're up 21-0, right? Just run the ball, kick the field, like a couple, like we can get into it, but I'm excited to finally get Kansas City coming to Buffalo to lose them in the 2020 season, the 2021 season. I think we'll exercise the demons for us as a fan, but like to me, Kansas City is the team to beat. So I'm excited they're coming to Buffalo next week.
Yeah. Yeah.
I feel like I throw a lot of shit.
Yeah. Yeah. Jeez. I mean, there's just like, I feel like
that's my thoughts, man.
Just had to get it, just had to spew them all out just right at once. No, there's a lot of things I couldn't keep up with all of them. But no, there was, I think you brought up a lot of good points. And I'm going to start with the KC thing real quick because, I guess I kind of had the feeling you said, what does this season mean for success? And obviously the Super Bowl is a goal. Like, I think we can both agree, we can all agree that the Super Bowl is a goal. Winning the Super Bowl is the only thing that matters. But I will say winning against KC in the postseason is a step that they haven't gotten to before, right? Like they haven't been able to get over that hurdle. Them getting over that hurdle to the AFC Championship game on the way to the AFC Championship game would be big, whether that's against the Ravens or the Texans, whatever. I think to get that monkey off their back, I think is a win. It's not going to feel good in going into the offseason. Well, luckily they beat the Kansas City Chiefs. We'll still be upset that they didn't make the Super Bowl or win the Super Bowl, right? Like we always are. But I think that can go part of it. I think that can help out. Now, what John was saying about the injuries stacked up. So the injuries before the game, before we even started today's game, was Tyrell Dodson, which John mentioned, Gabriel Davis on the offense. Rasul Douglas was out today, cornerback Rasul Douglas. Safety Taylor Rapp was out today. I'm missing someone. I think that's
those are the main ones. They, Kingsley Jonathan, Alec Baldwin, and Alec Anderson and... I can't remember the last name, but you got the main four.
And then through today, then we lost Christian Benford, the other starting cornerback. We lost Taron Johnson at one point, nickel cornerback. We lost Terrell Bernard, which was a huge loss today. And then we lost Baylen Specter, the backup to the backup of Milano. So Dodson was out, Specter was in, then Specter went out. Hopefully it's, I'm gonna mention what Banged Up Bill said on his Twitter feed, so I'll get to that in a moment. Who else? Who else am I missing, John? I know I'm missing someone else.
Did you say Taron Johnson?
Yes, I said Taron Johnson. At one point, Kevin Massari on Twitter brought up a good point. The Bills were on with Kair Elam and Dane Jackson starting. They're on their CB5. And CB6 and CB7 because Cam Lewis was starting also. He had to because Taron Johnson went out.
Yeah, we're watching the game and I actually commented. I was like, I'm kind of having a hard time keeping track of who's injured and like what string guy is in and all that.
Because AJ Klein was in, but he was only supposed to be a practice call backup and, you know, in case something like this happened. He wasn't supposed to start.
Right. And even Spectre is just, supposed to be just special teams mostly and... Yeah.
So lots of injuries there. Connor McGovern went out, but then he came back in. So the offense luckily seemed to go pretty unscathed. We'll see if we get Gabe Davis back next year or next week. But, you know, I guess my point in saying all these injuries is it takes a little bit of the luster off of this win. If you could, like a playoff win is always amazing. And I try not to ever take that for granted because we lived through a time when I mean, how long was it that the Bills didn't win a playoff game? It was like 25 years. That was longer than the drought, obviously. Like, right? 25 years, something like that, for the Bills finally won one. So I don't take that for granted. But like I said, it takes a little bit of the shine off that win, knowing that they might go into KC and they might be missing some guys. But at the end of the day, you guys mentioned Josh Allen. Josh Allen is really like a big part of this win. Sure, obviously you have to stop parts of Patrick Mahomes or at least make it tough for him. But in the end, we go as far as Josh Allen goes, right? For the most part. I mean, maybe we can get in one game between the Super Bowl of the three that the defense really shows up and maybe helps out. But it really goes as far as Josh Allen. If Josh Allen can only score 10 points, we're not going to win the game. Like that. If Josh Allen scores 40 points, we're probably going to win the game. So, and I thought he had a great game today. I mean, it wasn't spectacular stat-wise, but I mean, it was pretty damn good.
I mean, he still had over 280 total yards, three touchdowns, no picks. It's pretty good.
Yeah.
21-30.
And that's without one of his main receivers. He got a lot of folks involved. James Cook, looked pretty good tonight. The run game looked good. I just love Joe Brady so much more. I know it's not a dramatically different offense with him, like schematically, but just this offense just runs so much smoother. Right, I'm trying to think of a good analogy where, like, things are a struggle, and then you change one thing, and all of a sudden it's just, oh, that's what I should have done the whole time, right?
Did you guys notice a little bit more play action today? That was nice to see.
Oh, I did notice a little bit of play action. Now you must be listening to the podcast.
Under center, and then, like, play action on top. Like, what's going on? I mean, sure, there was a lot of shotgun play still, but, yeah, I like them changing it up. Love it.
Yeah, I wish they threw in a little bit more, maybe a trick play or two for some reason, or maybe like a jet sweep or something a little bit different that Deontay Hardy would be perfect for a jet sweep. You know what I mean? Like scheme it so that you can get it. I don't know.
There's more to do. For next week against the Chiefs.
Yeah, that's fine. That sounds good.
And then they got to save a little bit for the Ravens and a little bit for the 49ers.
The 49ers, yeah. It was amazing that, like, you guys were talking about Mike was talking about the Cowboys fan base being in shambles. The Dolphins fan base, I mean, now the Dolphins, luckily, since the Lions won their first playoff game in, what, 32 or 33 years or something, now the Dolphins have the longest active postseason losing streak. So that's kind of cool from our standpoint. And you should have seen their fan base over Twitter. I mean, they were just cannibalizing each other. It was kind of fun to watch, to be honest. It was nice to see them.
Yeah. I mean, I got my group at work, a Dolphins fan, a Cowboys fan. It's been a great weekend so far.
You're the only one still in it. They'll jump in when if we end up losing, and they'll be like, oh, good. Be like, well, we got further than you did. We actually won one in the last 25 years, so that's all right.
Yeah. I mean, the Cowboys.
What is that team, man? I don't get it. I thought they were supposed to be good at home. They're supposed to be a good home team. So if you want to see the highs and the lows of what your franchise can be, you witnessed it this weekend. You know, the highs being maybe like the Packers and the Texans, and the lows being, you know, the Cowboys and the Dolphins. So,
yeah.
And not only that, the Dolphins fans are thinking Tua might not even be the guy. Like, they want to hit the reset button. Some of them do, which I don't necessarily blame them.
Yeah, that might be too quick for the Dolphins. Cowboys definitely need a big change. Miami's still, I think, they're still a young, decent team. They got a good coach.
I mean, they got a really good coach, only in the fact that, like, I don't love the guy, but, like, he almost beat the Bills last year with Skylar Thompson. So, I mean, maybe you give him someone different. I think he's most of the reason why Tua is as good as he is. Not necessarily that Tua is amazing, but that he's a really good coach, and Tua is also good. Not great, but good. Mike, that's your second favorite quarterback. You have anything to say about Tua?
What do you mean second favorite quarterback?
Mike loves Tua. You know this, right? No? You don't know that?
Second favorite?
It might be 1B.
He is prone to hyperbole because when he kept getting injured, I defended him by saying, you got to see what he can do on the field. Anyway.
No, it was more like, he's a really good quarterback. I like Tua. I could pull up the podcast episode where you're like, I like Tua a lot.
Hold up.
Well, I can't right now. I don't. Okay. I'd have to take me a couple hours, and I'm not that petty. You just have to trust me. I am pretty petty, but
so Mike, who is your second quarterback?
I think it's just really interesting how everybody's a prisoner of the moment. That's why I'm so glad the Bills won, because I think we're not unique, right? If you look at these, as Nate said, like you're looking at the other fan bases across the board, people are like, okay, we got to move on from this coach. This GM sucks. This quarterback isn't the answer. When the quarterbacks were top five, like statistically, in Prescott and Tua, and it's like people change their perception on a dime, and the sample size is so, so tiny, right? If Prescott doesn't throw that first, that pick six, like the game can unfold completely different. Just any game is just a that's why it's so exciting, why everybody loves it. Just one play.
So I can't throw pick six. Complex.
Yeah. I mean, we're in the middle of the Eagles Buccaneers game, but the Eagles are losing 16-9. If the Eagles lose, don't you see the same conversation about Jalen Hurts when Jalen Hurts was considered an MVP candidate at one point?
It's wild. And same thing, like, oh, this coach, get him out.
Get him out. Exactly. They wanted to fire.
Where's Harbaugh?
Yeah. It's a good place to be in. Let me give you some updates on the injuries based off our buddy Banged Up Bills. At Banged Up Bills, we've had Kyle on several times. I'm sure I should probably have him on this week. But Ian Rappaport said Bill star linebacker Terrell Bernard, who has emerged as one of their top defenders, has what is believed to be an ankle sprain, source said. X-rays were negative. MRI tomorrow. Of course, we don't know how severe an ankle sprain. It could be 4 to 6 weeks. It could be he could be fine for next week. But either way, like I know it sucks, but thank God we didn't lose him for like to an ACL tear. That's exactly where my mind went when he went off in a cast, or he got taken off in a cart in the field. Like that didn't look like an ankle sprain. That looked like a season ending, like ending 2024 season ending injury, you know? So lucky there. And so like we went over, Stephon Diggs was injured at one point. The Bills punter, Sam Martin, was injured at one point. Bills guard Connor McGovern was injured at one point. Micah Hyde had a shin injury. Leonard Floyd had a shoulder injury. I mean, Christian Benford had the knee injury. just a lot of injuries today. Just a ton. Even on the Steelers side, the Steelers lost a lot of players too. But
and part Bernard of it might have been just that field, like probably felt like concrete getting tackled on it with how cold it was, and they just plowed 2 feet of snow off of it.
Yeah, no kidding. The field looked amazing, though, by the way. Can I say that? Like, I don't know about the stands.
Yeah, it looks great from the TV.
It's all completely frozen. McDermott said, Bill's cornerback, Rasul Douglas, told Tim Graham in the locker room he felt like he was ready to play, but the team held him out. Douglas then said he'll play next week against the Chiefs, so obviously that's great news. Sean McDermott said there will be consideration regarding bringing a new punter in this week. So the Bills will have to see where Sam Martin is with his hamstring injury.
I mean, he punted afterwards, right?
Yeah.
And he held. And then, I mean, he missed another. Bass missed another thing. At that point, I think it was. What do you make of that Bass miss, that 27-yard field goal? Like, it looked like the hold was fine. He just, like, really was really bad that one.
Dude, I took flack on Twitter, and I was. So Mike said, I'm prone to hyperbole at points sometimes, but I said, why did we give this guy an extension again? And I guess this is just my frustration with Tyler Bass this season. And then I looked at his stats. I'm like, well, maybe I am making a big deal out of this, but this has been his worst season field goal wise since his rookie season. Like, not awful. Don't get me wrong. He was like 83% or something like that, right? So like he was 83% his rookie season. The last two seasons before that, the two seasons before this last season, though, he was like 89% field goal percentage wise. But two tonight just was like.
Well, the block, I mean, you could any block, like I didn't really see the replay well enough to, but blocks usually are kind of fluky. It could be anything. It could be an offensive lineman missing an assignment. It could be the holder taking too long to do something, or that could be the kicker. Who knows? Like how long it is. 49 yarder. You don't think that would happen, but it could be anything, but the 27-yarder, it's like, is it in his head from before, like, what happened? Like, the holder got hurt and it got blocked. Oh, my gosh, what am I going to do? But, like, that should be a chip shot. It's like a old-school extra point, except a little bit to the right?
Yeah, exactly. Well, that's the thing. And people were like, it's like kicking a cinder block. And I completely get that, so I'm not going to say that. But for a 27-yarder, I mean, Steelers field goal or kicker didn't have any issues doing that, so... You know, the Chiefs kicker was doing pretty good the other night in minus 30 windshield. So,
Bass made the regular extra points.
He made the regular extra points. He just missed the field goal, the two field goals. And maybe, I mean, it's a 49-yard field goal. It was a long one, don't get me wrong. But at the same time, like, he missed a big field goal in the Eagles game. The Eagles game that probably would have won it for us. And it was because it was a chip shot, and he didn't kick it up high enough. Like, that was his fault. That was on him. So I didn't get a good look at this one, but I would have to assume that this one is also on him, just because of history in the past. He's got to get that up there, man. Kicking is just like a pitching thing where, like, these guys can easily get in their heads with confidence and this like that. Don't get me wrong. So I'm not trying to dogpile on the guy, but if you think that he's having a great season, like, he's not. He's not having the worst season ever. He's not having the Nathan Peterman of kicker season, but not good. Not good, especially as what we're used to. So we have that. Let's see. McDermott said it was probably closer for Tyrell Dodson than Rasul Douglas to come back this week. So that's good. We're hoping that we get Rasul Douglas and Tyrell Dodson next week. Those would be huge. Never thought I'd ever say getting Tyrell Dodson back would be huge, by the way. Not like I don't like the guy, but who would have thought he'd be so important, especially with Bernard's injury, right? He's a third string linebacker at this point. I thought Dorian Williams looked pretty good, though, in his absence, in Baylen Spector's absence. I thought he looked pretty good. He had a huge hit. He had a couple
of
big tackles.
Williams looked good, yeah. Yeah, I was concerned about Dodson coming into this particular game just because the Steelers, I felt like, were going to want to run a lot, which they did want to run a lot, and they would need all the help they could get. I wasn't even anticipating another injury.
Yeah, I know. No kidding. So I'm going to give you guys a quiz. Pop quiz, hot shot. How many yards per carry did Steelers running backs have against the Buffalo Bills today? How many yards per carry? You can go to the decimal point just to make it a little bit, or just to know what I'm guessing. It's a something point something yards per carry. John, I'll let you go first.
Thanks.
No problem, man. Talk it out.
So you're asking this question, so it's got to be like something that's significant. So it's not like 3.9 or 4. It's either something a lot lower or a lot higher.
Maybe.
I'm going to go 3.6.
3.6? That's a good guess. Mike?
That's a good guess. I don't remember any long runs, but I'll go 0.1 above John.
Yeah, it's 3.8. So John had a damn good guess, though, to start off with. John, you should be a handicapper for Vegas. Something, man.
Thanks. Yeah. I don't win a lot when I bet in Vegas, so I don't know.
I think handicapping, though, forces you to project forward, not just look back and remember.
Oh, true.
While you have tabs open.
Well, he's literally...
Well, it's a good point, though. I thought about it. I'm like, well, you did too, right? It's like, well, they didn't have a lot of long runs, and we're asking you this question because it's not really good or really bad. It's not in the middle. It is really good or really bad. So,
but I feel like maybe that's a curveball then, because I feel like that's right in the middle, 3.8. It's not really good or really bad.
No, it's not.
I feel like you want to aim for 4.0, right? Like, that's the mark. So, like, 3.9 to 4.0 is the average, I guess. Maybe 4.0 is the average now.
I say, because I think the Bills did a good job at stopping the run today. Like you said, no big runs, no big plays.
What was Josh Allen and James Cook? They're like, Josh Allen's probably, with that 50-yard run, is probably like 7-something.
I will tell you. Josh Allen had 79 yards. Or I'm sorry, that's James Cook. James Cook had 79 yards on 18 carries. He was 4.4 yards per carry. So again, over that four yards per carry threshold, Josh Allen was 74 yards on 8 carries. So he was 9.3 yards per carry.
Yeah.
Again, like you said, that 52-yard run, that was the big one. So Ty Johnson had 8 carries for 26 yards. Let's just do real quick. We'll do stats of the game.
Let me ask, though, your general feeling of the game. Like, we're super happy that they won, and as I reflect on it more and more, the Bills really should, in a season where we've seen teams hang 70 on other teams, the Bills got 2 turnovers and won by 14, and they got 14 points off turnovers. And turnovers that potentially, I'm thinking of the, was it a pick and fumble, but like kind of fluky. And Rudolph is a third string quarterback.
Well, you gotta look at your opponent too. Like, the Steelers have good defense, so you're talking about 70 points. Like, the Dolphins put 70 up against the Raiders in week 3, and the Raiders are terrible, and we know the Dolphins are bad. The Ravens put up like 50 or 60 something against the Dolphins. There's another 60 banger. And it's like, it's the Dolphins. Obviously, can't be good teams.
But if the Bills play the same way and luck is randomly dispersed throughout the game,
shouldn't they have won by more?
Yeah, I guess looking forward to Kansas City, like those turnovers were not the result of like incredible stifling defense. It wasn't like a sack, fumble, return for touchdown. Like just.
Well, they've had both.
Yeah,
they've had both kinds this year. Like they've had pick six against New England, or this game that they got lucky. Kyrie Elam was able to pick it off while they were throwing it in the end zone, and you know they get a touchback. They've had both types of turnovers.
But okay, swap out Mahomes for Rudolph. Like,
do the Bills win this?
Do the Bills win?
They won earlier this season. And you look at Mahomes' track.
And it came down to an offsides penalty, though, right? Like it was really close.
It was egregious. But like, look at Mahomes' track record against Buffalo. He's 3-3, so he's 500 even. He's only played in Buffalo once, which he won, but there was no fans because it was during the COVID year. Mahomes is 2-0 in the playoffs against Buffalo. That's the most damning thing at this point, which everybody can agree to. Both those games are at Arrowhead. This is his first true road playoff game against any team. The Super Bowl he played against Tampa Bay was in Tampa Bay, whatever. But like, as far as leading up to the Super Bowl, all playoff games, which he's played 16, 17 games of, he's never had a road playoff game. This is his first one. That's significant. I'm not saying that, okay, he's going to lose because of that, but it's a big deal. Like, it's something to think about. And his track record against Buffalo, he's 500. He's 3-3.
I guess my point more is, like, they could, in thinking back, like, they could have dominated the Steelers one more convincingly. Like, if they play the same game against KC, I don't know how that turns out. I hope they're able to step their game up next week.
Wasn't it like a couple years ago where it's like there were like people were on them for like not winning. They lost two close, like all their games that they won were blowouts, but they didn't win any close games. And then like they were winning close games. They're like, oh, now they're not winning any blowouts. It's, I don't know. Just as long as they win.
Mike, is it so much that the Bills only scored 31 or that the differential was only 14 points more? Because like if the Bills got one of those two Tyler Bass field goals, do you feel better about 34-17? Like, does that feel better because they doubled up on the score, or they have 17 more points? Does 17 feel better, or should have been 24?
Or if they made both
field goals? I feel like the you can't overstate the importance of the quarterback position, right? We can all agree there. And it's just, is Rudolph the worst quarterback in the playoff field?
Yes.
Third stringer, right?
Maybe Baker Mayfield. No, Baker Mayfield's got to be better. Yeah.
I thought they said in the broadcast, Rudolph was like going to go be a real estate agent.
But so for a defense that has had so many injuries to only let up 17 points, Milano's out, Bernard's out, Trey White's out, like all these guys that got injured during the game, not to mention the four inactives, letting up 17 points, I think that's amazing.
It's kind of rough because TJ Watt was also out. Should they have scored more just based on that? And they were losing. They lost their best cornerback halfway through the game too. And at no point was I like, this offense is dominant. Like, I thought they were moving the ball and they had some really good plays.
No, I agree on the offense part. I think they should have scored more points on offense. I think the defense was fine, all things considered.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I'm not ragging on the defense, especially with the myriad of injuries they've had.
I think they should have been in the 40s on offense.
Do you think some of that though was the Bills were up by two scores and McDermott's like, let's run this ball, like let's chew up the clock, like let's not give them, but you still have
to finish drives. And even the two field goals, I mean, that's 37 right there, and the one field goal might have taken away from the Steelers touchdown, so it could have been 37-10 instead of 31-17, which looks a lot better.
Yeah, that you got to count that as a turnover, right? That blocked field goal that ends up going down to like the Bills' 25-yard line or whatever. Like that is almost a turnover, basically, a special teams turnover.
But then it doesn't matter.
But on that play, right? Like, wasn't it 2nd and 7 and they were throwing the ball when they could have like run it to get the down to the 2-minute warning, and then there's 3rd down, you run it again, or you're closer for the field. Like, that felt like very poor decision-making in the moment. Because, like, you can almost close the door, and then you're getting the ball back at the half. But instead, they throw that pass that's not even close and then go for the 49-yard field goal into the wind. And then you're get it blocked, whatever. You're giving the Steelers the ball back and hope. Like, to me, that felt like a huge decision and just opened the door wide open for them.
Yeah, it was 2nd and 7, incomplete pass to Ty Johnson, Mike, and then it was an incomplete pass again, and then that left 2:29 on the clock. Yeah, could have at least gotten to the 2-minute warning.
It's hard to say. Like, you see something in the defense, like, oh, we got to run this right now because like this guy's out there, and sometimes it doesn't work. I get the situationalness of it and the time and everything, but sometimes it's a tough call. But they won the game. Look at it. We got two amazing games next week. Allen and Mahomes and Stroud and Jackson. It's gonna be great.
It's gonna be a fun weekend.
Hopefully, it's gonna be great.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, I know. I'm already getting stressed.
Dude, I was stressed about this game. I was stressed about last 5 weeks leading up to this, and I'm stressed again.
Yeah. It doesn't end. It doesn't end until you win the Super Bowl. It hasn't ended our entire lives.
No, we lived through the 4 Super Bowl losses. So it's like, I remember you texted us the question the other day, like, how far do they need to go if you're, you know, I remember the context, like, if you're disappointed or not or something. It's like, well, I mean, obviously, you want to get as far as you can go, but anything that's not a Super Bowl win, considering what we've been through, not just the last 6 years, but our entire lifetimes, like living through the 4 Super Bowl losses, like, who cares if they go to the Super Bowl and lose it? Like, you want to win it.
Yeah, exactly. I won't feel good if they go to the Super Bowl. Well, we got to the Super Bowl and we lost. Like, that doesn't, if anything, it kind of makes you feel even worse. Like,
I know. I'd almost rather lose in the game before
that. I know. Isn't that crazy to think that? Like, I'd rather. Oh, I'm so glad we lost in the AFC Championship game instead of going to the Super Bowl and losing. But yeah, it's like
But then it's the unknown. It's like, well, if we had won, then maybe we had a shot at Super Bowl. So
yeah,
but we're not. We always talk like, oh, our whole lives. But there's 32 teams. On average, you should win once every 32 years. The first 10 years of your life are completely pointless. If you remember nothing. If you're not being completely devoid of human contact, you're going to be fine, right? Like, it could be the greatest heaven on earth or the
hell on
shittiest
earth
situation you can imagine. Right. First 10 years are null and void. So then after 10, like, we're it's coming up for us, but and you should go to the Super Bowl like once every 16 years and lose. We got 4 in a row, and now we have all this success year after year, last 5 years, right? Like, so it's not like we're.
I get the law of averages and all that, but like, it's not fun. Like, the Steelers fans, they got it easy. I get they lost today and it sucks for them, but from 1969 until now, they've only had 3 head coaches. The first 2 are in the Hall of Fame. The guy they got now has never had a losing season and has won a Super Bowl and has been in tons of playoffs. Like, that's awesome to have lived through that. Like, us, like, we had great success and then huge drought. And then, you know, our, you know, parents and grandparents, when the Bills in 1960s, 1965, oh, they had 2 AFL championships. The 3rd one, they just barely lost to Kansas City, which would have put them in Super Bowl 1 against the Green Pack.
No one cares about that. But they're all dead.
But they would have matched up better against the Packers than the Chiefs did in the first Super Bowl anyway. But forget that. Then they have
all those people would trade their Super Bowl victory for 1 minute to be alive today.
I don't think that's what we're talking about here, though. But
yeah. You ever walk by like a photograph? You ever walk by a photograph of like people from the early 1900s, and it's like a bunch of people just sitting or something? I don't know, family reunion or whatever. And you're like, they're all dead. Every single one of them. Even that child who was 3 years old in 1910 is long gone. Those dogs, definitely dead. Like, you know, it's, you ever see those? Just walk through.
Yeah, it's very sad. Yes.
I wouldn't say it's sad. It's just the way it is. I didn't know those people, so it's not sad to me. But all the people that like played in like Super Bowl I, like Mike said, what, 58 years ago, probably all dead, right? They're going to be wheeling them out like they used to wheel out World War II veterans when there were still some left. Super Bowl I.
I feel like John like gloms on to the history of the team. Like, I mean, if I didn't enjoy it and live through it, like, I don't really give a shit. Like, if the Bills, I don't know, you weren't alive for Super Bowl once, like, hey, we're the champs. Like,
You'd be a Dolphins fan then. You'd be a Dolphins fan being like, we won two championships. Well, you didn't see any of them. Yeah, but there's YouTube. Oh, that's just the same. That's just the same as watching it live on TV and enjoying the win. Being able to see it 50 years later, it's exactly the same.
Well, you know what's also interesting? Back in, like, the first three Super Bowls, as they were merging the two leagues, typically nowadays, like, oh, I don't want the Dolphins or Patriots to win the Super Bowl. But back then, you would root for those guys because it was AFL versus NFL, and you wanted your conference to beat the NFL to prove yourselves to them. So it's very interesting dynamic. So for me, I know Mike's like, who gives a shit? But to me, I enjoy history. So I like the history of all things, but I also am very passionate about the NFL. Obviously. So I combine those two things a lot in my thoughts and what I talk about.
It's like that Progressive commercial, like, not to end up like your parents. It's like, what are you reading there, John? Oh, I'm reading about the AFL merger. And also on this, I have a book about submarines.
To be fair, I try to take all the pillows off my couch all the time because nobody can sit on it.
Mike, John's... That's funny. John's reading about wars that nobody ever cared to learn about. Like, oh, this is about the War of 1812. Like, what? Who even cares about that one? So, yeah. No, I get it. I get both.
It's easy to remember. It was 1812.
Wait, did it start in 1812 or end in 1812?
I don't remember.
Stats of the game real quick. Josh Allen mentioned 21 for 30, 203 yards, 3 touchdowns, 0 interceptions. James Cook, Captain Cook, 18 attempts for 79 yards. Josh Allen, 8 rushes for 74 yards, 1 touchdown, like I mentioned earlier. Ty Johnson, 8 carries, 26 yards. Dalton Kincaid, he had that one. Ty Johnson, give him credit. He had that one big 11-yard game to get a first down, keep that clock running. Dalton Kincaid, the leading receiver for the Buffalo Bills, 3 receptions on 6 targets for 59 yards, 1 touchdown. Stephon Diggs, 7 receptions on 9 targets for 52 yards. Deontay Hardy, 1 reception on 1 target for 34 yards. Khalil Shakir, do you guys, sweet sassy molassy, play the game? I really want to give it to Khalil Shakir on that touchdown, man. Like, that was impressive. Like, Minka Fitzpatrick thought he had him dead to rights, and Khalil Shakir basically held on to whatever balance he had left, stayed up, and not only got the first down, he gets the touchdown too, gets into the end zone. I think that's my sweet sassy molassy play of the game. Do you guys have a better one than that one, or one that stood out even more?
I think it's a super close second for me. For me, it's the Josh Allen touchdown run. He passes the first down marker. I'm like, slide, go down. And it almost looked like he thought about doing it. And he's like, I'm just going to keep going. And he went for 52 yards. It was amazing, and I just that's my sweet stimulus.
Yeah, I love that play too. That's my 1B. I did love that play though. At the time, I was like, slide. Like, keep going. Mike, one of those two or the Khalil?
I'd be hard pressed to, like, when with the linemen all have Shakira on their shoulders, like, hard pressed to pass over that one. But I'm going to. And Josh, the Bills playoff record, right, for a rushing for a rush.
Rushing
amazing
touchdown. Quarterback, yeah, rushing. Yeah, second. Yeah.
I think it's just the longest run from Bills playoffs, wasn't it?
Oh, it might have been. I just saw the stat about the second longest quarterback run in a playoff.
Yeah, it's the longest Bills rush for a touchdown in playoff history.
And we'll be playing that highlight. Yeah, for forever.
When Josh's career ends, he'll have all the passing records and all the rushing records for the Buffalo Bills, guaranteed.
That's crazy. That's insane.
Maybe not the rushing yardage, but maybe the rushing touchdowns.
Well, he's already second in rushing touchdowns, or third, right?
He's third of pass. He only has to pass OJ and Thurman.
That's crazy.
Both amazing plays. However, the play of the game, just because of how quickly the turnaround happened. I had just finished thumbing in my notes, wall of shame, Kaiir Elam, after he got, it was 3rd and 9 at the Bills 25, still in the first quarter. So we're going back. Still in the first quarter, Bills are 14-0. It's 3rd and 9 at the Buffalo 25. and Elam just gets trucked. You remember that? And yep. And then he gets called for the pass interference. And like, oh my gosh.
But God. then he got the interception, redemption.
And then he comes through. So wall of fame or wall of shame until wall of fame, making that pick in the end zone. And then that led to the, was it the Allen touchdown, right? They put him up 21.
Nothing at that point.
Nothing at that point.
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
Would you say that that's a Gettysburg of the game too? That might have been the turning point because it was potentially a 7 point or 14 point swing right there. You can make the argument for that.
I don't know if there's a Gettysburg. There were some Gettysburg moments maybe for the Steelers that just didn't come to fruition.
The block punt. The block field goal.
Yeah, for sure. That was a big turning point. But they just couldn't keep it going after that.
Well, they went from going up 24-0 before halftime to 21-7. So, yeah, that was a huge play for the Steelers. I love the Kyrie Elam pick, Mike, for a couple of different reasons. Like you said, he, like, totally redeemed himself throughout the play from the pass interference, the play beforehand, right? But then kind of, like, redeeming himself in general. I mean, he's a first-round pick that people are kind of labeling a bust at this point, and he came up with a huge play in the time that it mattered the most. So there's depth to that choice, Mike. There's levels. There's layers to what you chose, so I like that one. Khalil Shakir, we knew was pretty good. Josh Allen, we obviously know is good. But Kyrie Elam, I didn't expect a big play from him at all, and he came through. I like.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Okay. On the Steelers' side of the ball, real quick, Mason Rudolph, 22 for 39, 229 yards, two touchdowns, one interception. Jaylen Warren, the leading rusher, 8 attempts for 38 yards. Najee Harris, 12 attempts for 37 yards. And the leading receiver for the Pittsburgh Steelers was Pat Freiermuth, 5 receptions on 8 targets for 76 yards. Those were stats of the game brought to you by the Twin Spire Sportsbook at DeLago. A couple more stats real quick. Kyrie Elam tallied his first career playoff touchdown today on a 17-yard pass from Josh Allen. Yeah, there it is. Allen's 52-yard run marks the longest run by a Bill in a playoff game, surpassing a 45-yard touchdown by Joe Cribbs in 1981 against the New York Jets. The 52-yard touchdown by Josh Allen was the longest in his career in a run in the regular season or in the playoffs. Greg Rousseau tallied his first sack against Mason Rudolph today. So, again, those are stats of the game brought to you by the Twin Spire Sportsbook at DeLago. We did Sweet Sassy Malassi play of the game. Let's do Wall of Fame and Wall of Shame. Obviously, let's start with Wall of Fame. I'll go first. I mean, it's got to be Josh Allen. Again, John mentioned earlier, maybe I said not with his arm, but still over 280 yards of total offense by Josh. No turnovers. He did have a couple of iffy throws, but luckily they didn't end up being picks. So I thought he had a good game against a good Steelers defense. I mean, the Steelers defense is not terrible. So maybe, Mike, maybe that's what I chuck it up to, that the Bills still won by 14 points against a team, a playoff team that still has a really good defense. And they got some players back like Minkah Fitzpatrick, who they haven't had for 3 or 4 weeks now. So, yeah, that's how I'm going to justify that. Josh Allen. Do you guys have anyone else besides Josh Allen for your Wall of Fame? Any other nominees?
Yeah, Josh Allen and Ed Oliver.
Ed Oliver having a tremendous season. Mike?
Only person I could add is AJ Klein off the streets to being a crucial member of the defense.
Maybe we give it to like AJ Klein and all the other guys that came off the street, right? Like Bealen Spector wasn't a starter and he was doing good up until his injury. You know, Kaiir Elam, like Mike just mentioned, had that one big, huge play. Cam Lewis was okay tonight. I mean, a lot of guys stepping up. Dorian Williams, we mentioned earlier, having a good game at linebacker.
Team sport. Let's go. Let's put the whole team on there.
Let's put the whole Mike's favorite. Yeah,
fuck you, Mike. The whole team's on there. Go. Let's go.
Wait. The coaching staff too. The coaching staff.
Brandon Bean. Klein. Terry Pegula. Let's go, everybody.
How about those guys that threw the snowballs at George Pickens in the end zone when he was trying to catch the ball?
Bills Mafia, snowballs, tables, lighter fluid. Let's go.
Bills Mafia that at the game today, Wall of Fame, every single member's the ones at the game.
Also, Wall of Fame, the shovelers.
The shovelers.
Who worked for I don't know how many hours to at least get the aisles. I know that they were limited in time. But they got the field clear. They got the aisles clear. And we sat in some snow. I didn't sit in snow. I was watching my ass on the couch in front of the TV. But somebody sat in some snow.
It's 72 degrees. It's 72 degrees, right? 10 feet away from your refrigerator with a nice cold beer. Yeah, that's dude, I saw a funny tweet. Somebody mentioned that, you know, when is the multi-billion dollar team, like the Buffalo Bills, going to have like a ready, set, contractually obligated, you know, place that's going to shovel out the stadium in case this happens? Why do they? I think it was Aaron from Cover One. It was like, why? It was cute the first couple of times. Now it's like, why don't you guys actually have someone to do this? Why do you have to keep relying on fans to bail you out? And I was just like, that's a good point. Like, it was kind of funny the first few times. Now it's just like, you have to assume that this might happen. Well, you should have someone on retainer.
Yeah, it's always been that way. We just don't remember, like 30, 45, 50 years ago, they did it the same way they do now. But
well, they should have an employer or something, or some company that they can pay to do this. And then if they also have extra people that want to do it, okay, we'll pay you $20 an hour. But we already have like 50 people in waiting in tow for when this happens.
Yeah, I don't know logistics and what. Yeah, I have no idea.
That'd be like your company in the.
Well, it's got to be a one-time deal, though, right? Because it doesn't happen every season. So it'd be like 3 years later. Oh, by the way, we got some snow. Can you come over now?
I live in California. Who this?
I paid. I remember when we had our firstborn and we were so busy with, like, you know, trying to get everything ready and when the baby came, we're like, you know, we're up all hours of the night. You know, we're not getting any sleep. We're just trying to like live life and kind of survive for a little bit, trying to adjust to being new parents. I talked to my wife and I'm like, well, let's just get a snowplow service. Like, we never do that, right? Like, but whatever, that's fine. I don't care. Everyone in our neighborhood has it. I'm just going to do it too. And we did it. We paid a $300 retainer or whatever it was so that they would come every week. And they came once. They came once that entire winter. We had that much snow only once. So we paid it anyway, though, but that's the cost of it. It's like, how come I can do that, but the Pegulas can't? You know, like, how do I have the money or the wherewithal to do that?
The stadium is probably a little bit more expensive than your 30-foot driveway.
Yeah, they have a ton more money than I do, too. So it evens out. Oh, by the way, that snowplow company, also the one time they came to snowplow my driveway, they bent in my garage door. we have three panels, like the top, middle, and the bottom one. They like caved in the bottom one, so it was like inward bent, and that took about 8 months for them to come out and fix that. Finally,
you should have hired some Bills fans for $20 an hour. You have a much better job done.
I should have had them on.
And like, you probably would have had a lot more fun doing it.
Yeah. All right. So I guess I'm not so mad at that anymore. That's fine. You guys want to have anything else before we get into some hot takes from Bills Mafia?
I would say one of the surprising things, given Tomlin's success over the years, is just I was struck by the sheer ineptitude of the Steelers being down by 14 with 2.5 minutes to go, just dinking the ball down like 3 yards here. 5 years, as a Bills fan, I'm like, this is the greatest thing ever. but very surprising that they wouldn't try. And like, the game's, for all intents and purposes, over. You've got nothing to lose, and they did not push the ball down the field, get to the 50, throw a Hail Mary. And then just the capstone on that, like, maybe 10 seconds left, Mason Rudolph like runs with the ball to end the game. Like,
it's very reminiscent of a lot of Bills teams during their drought. Now this isn't, the Steelers don't have a drought, but the Bills would often do that in the past when they had a really good defense and a really good running game, but no passing game, when they didn't have a quarterback, and a very similar scenario.
So you know how we rag on Sean McDermott for like his use of timeouts or whatever before the end of a half or the end of the game? Like, did you see Mike Tomlin when the Bills got the ball back after the Steelers touchdown? It was 21-7, and the Bills like got sacked on the second. It was like on first down, they got sacked for 17 yards. And it was second and 17. They had all three timeouts, and it was 140 something left. I'm like, call a timeout. If I was yelling at the TV, I wasn't yelling at the TV for them, but I'm like, I can't believe they're not calling a timeout. Like, second and 17 before the end of a half is pretty much, you're not going to get a first down, you know, like that's it. And they didn't stop it, and they let it go down, and the Bills called another play. And it wasn't until there was 2 seconds left that they called a timeout. And then the Bills just kneeled the ball. And it was just like, what are you guys doing?
And I think even more of an exclamation point on that is the Bills punt, like, Martin was already clearly injured.
Yeah.
Exactly. Right. If there was ever a time to do it. I agree 100%. It seemed that what are they thinking? Whether it's Tomlin or somebody upstairs should recognize it, I don't know. But to end both halves, very surprising from a franchise like the Steelers.
Or even when Martin's back to punt after he got injured, why not do an all-out punt rush?
Oh, yeah, that's the time to do it, for sure.
Yeah, so it's one of those games where I'm not only, like, criticizing my own team, I'm this other team, what are they doing?
And people say that Mike Tomlin is, you know, one of the better coaches in the NFL. And look how easily, I guess...
He's also one of the more conservative ones, though, which I don't necessarily agree with being ultra-conservative all the time. Although I totally respect Tomlin. I think he's done a great job over the years. But that, like, I'd rather have McDermott than Tomlin, because McDermott will go for it on fourth down. He'll do a little bit different things.
Yeah, he'll be more aggressive, for sure. For sure. I guess that was my point was, and you just said it, John, was just, McDermott's not terrible. Like, people want to say that he's awful. Like, dude, even good coaches, or what people consider are good coaches, make idiotic decisions during the course of a game.
Yeah.
Right? We just don't notice it as much because we watch the Bills. But
and you look at like Vrabel a lot. I think he's a good coach. He got fired. He'll catch on somewhere else. But he's kind of more conservative too. He's a good coach, but you know, for certain teams, that might not be what you want.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll see where he ends up. Luckily, it's not going to be in New England. But after every Bills game, I said ask people on Twitter, on X, if you're not following us, please do. We're at CTW Pod, like Circling the Wagons Pod. I say, you know, what's your hot take after this win or loss? And this time I'm going to start at the bottom, okay? I don't normally do that. I'm going to start at the bottom. Give some people some chance to that I don't normally read, because that's how the algorithm works. Let's see. Dave Boyle says, Diggs must always wear that sweater. Do you guys have any traditions that you guys do before a game, like you wear something or do something or anything to, when the Bills are winning, just got to keep doing it. It's just so they keep winning, right? It sounds like no.
I think kind of. I don't have a set thing, but I mean, like, you know, if you're sitting on the floor, then I'm happy.
Well, I only sit on the floor when they start losing.
Is that what it was?
Yeah, that I'll do whatever. Or so I just happened to be like that time against the Chiefs a couple of years ago, I was sitting on the floor, but I think I was petting my dog, and I was just like, well, I've been sitting on the floor this whole time. They're winning. I can't get up. So I just stayed there. I might do that again this week. We'll see. We'll see.
You got the sock thing going on, right?
So. I do have the sock thing going on, yeah. Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up. I have two Bills socks, one with a big hole underneath it that I wore today to work. I was out at a job site and, you know, working that. I was like, I got to wear it. I can't not wear it. I can't, you know, risk the juju, right? So, and it was funny is there was at least two or three comments that were just like, you know, you can easily fix that, right? Like, And I was like, well,
yeah, but the Bills are still winning. So
yeah, exactly. First off, A, I have to keep wearing them like this because the Bills are still winning, like you said. And then B, I didn't know that till you just messaged me that you could fix a hole in the sock. I figured like you couldn't sew it shut because it's like, you know, there's missing material. I mean, it's stretched too much. Like if I sew it shut, it's going to be really tight in one spot, or I don't know. It's that you need like a patch or something. And now I have to YouTube it. So yeah, I didn't, maybe I didn't know that guy on Twitter.
Well, don't YouTube it yet. Just keep writing it out until, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. I got to fix. Yeah. I'll fix it when the Bills lose. But if the Bills win and they make it to the Super Bowl and they win it, why would I ever?
No, you get keep going into the next season.
At least into the postseason, right? I mean, even if because I can't stop in the regular season. Like if they lose game three, the week three, I can't, you know, patch it up then. What if they make it to the playoffs, right? I can't.
Yeah, you keep going. Yeah.
I keep going. Okay. Sounds good.
I don't think it's patching. I think it's darning, isn't it?
Darning?
Yeah.
Why is it not patching? Is it because it's a sock? And it's a different type of,
yeah, if you're stitching.
You're a big, aren't you a Beatles fan? Like Eleanor Rigby? Remember that song?
Yeah, I like that song.
It's like darning his socks.
Oh, I don't know all the words to the song, but Eleanor.
It's not a long song. Darning his socks. Remember that part? yeah.
Yes, Eleanor Rigby. Right around that part. Yeah.
Darning his socks. While she yells out the window at kids.
I think you have that on cassette tape somewhere.
Jack V writes, big momentum swing after the blocked field goal and Martin injury. Yeah, that's another thing. Bass's blocked field goal led to the Sam Martin injury.
Yeah, and Steph, that whole sequence of events was terrible.
Yeah. What's funny is, so full disclosure, I was driving back from Binghamton during the first half of the game, and
you weren't watching the game?
No, I was riding shotgun, so I didn't have to drive. So that was nice. I was in the car.
So you're watching it?
Yeah, so I was watching it on my phone. Okay. And it was playing through the car speakers and stuff like that. The guy.
So why did you say full disclosure?
Full disclosure, because I wasn't watching it in my like living room or whatever. So while
you're watching,
I was
watching it, not as good as you would be normally.
No, because it's like, you know, the stream is always a few seconds, like 30 seconds behind the actual.
But you watched, so you watched it or you didn't watch it?
No, I did watch it. I did watch it, but
it just seems weird for a confession.
Well, let me. So this is what happened is, let me finish, God damn it. So as I'm watching it, the Bills are about to line up for a field goal, and all of a sudden John's text over the group chat goes, fuck. And I was like, oh no, I don't think he made the field goal, because John is texting me before the field goal that I didn't realize how bad it was, though. It wasn't just a blocked field goal. Like, they ran it back 30 or 40 yards. Our punter got injured. Like, it was just.
Yeah, the expletive was mostly just for the punter getting injured. I mean, the rest of it was like, it could have been a fluke, but they didn't run it back, and the punter got injured, though. That was my biggest takeaway.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
At that moment in time.
It was appropriate. You weren't just saying that after a missed field goal. I mean, it was everything after that, for sure.
Jack, what were you doing in Binghamton?
I had to go to a project. It wasn't in Binghamton specifically, but I don't want to give the location away. So Jack V continues on, and Steph probably gave them extra juice when he grabbed the Steelers water bottle. Can't get that cocky against the Chiefs. That was funny when Steph did that. He also writes, Josh is a man child, and we better see Haley there next week. Go Bills. Well, if Taylor Swift's going to be there in Buffalo, right? That just makes sense.
Has she been to an away game yet? Do we know?
Oh, I don't know. Mike?
How would I know?
Well, you don't have to get all, you know, upset about it. It's just
you. Why would you think we needed a specific location that you were at? Like,
well, it was a long drive.
I can't tell you guys.
It was a long drive.
You didn't ask.
You kept asking. It was a long drive. It was 2.5 hours. From there back to Rochester. So, like, we didn't leave until 3:30. So, like, I knew I was going to miss the beginning of the game. But this trip had been planned for work since, you know, a couple of weeks ago. I didn't know that the game would last till today, but here we are. Steve Leffler writes, KC coming in pretty healthy. Bill's going to have a Band-Aid defense. Might be the difference. I'm worried. Yeah, well, I was less worried until you wrote that, Steve. But, yeah. Yeah, we'll see. We might get some big pieces back. Rasul Douglas in general would be key. Christian Benford doesn't look good because he never came back after he went into the locker room. So I would be surprised if Mahomes didn't try to pick on Kair Elam. Like, why wouldn't you? But he wouldn't be playing because it would be Dane Jackson and Rasul Douglas. So Taron Johnson, though, not being there would hurt a lot.
Yeah, so who's their nickel? Which means Kair is playing Cam on the Lewis. Outside.
Cam Lewis.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, Cam Lewis.
I mean,
so no matter what, like, they got some issues. So the offense needs to step up, like I said before. They need to score lots of times and not have issues doing it.
Yep, absolutely. Steve Szymanski writes, just plain intestinal fortitude despite injuries. Go Bills from Greensboro, North Carolina. Steve, go Bills from up here, man. Awesome. Good time of year to be in Greensboro. Congrats, writes, injuries ruined this season. That's the hot take. This win almost doesn't matter, but hey, it was a nice win. I say we still got to wait to see what happens. I feel like every team that goes to the Super Bowl has big injuries. I mean, the Ravens are missing their best pass-catching tight end, right? And they're the first seed. So luckily, it's mostly on defense, right? Like, that's the one thing we can say. Luckily, it's mostly on defense. Hopefully, we get Gabe Davis back this week. That'll help for sure. I mean, he's the chief slayer, right? He had 4 touchdowns against them just a few years ago.
As you know, John and I usually tune out when you start doing hot takes, but my echoic memory just kicked in. Did you say Szymanski? Is that like your plant?
No, it's just some guy named Steve Szymanski. Usually I know you just, I'm surprised you didn't say something earlier. Anakin Skywalker says, sorry guys, I'm getting over a cold and cough and sinus stuff. So I apologize. I'm trying to mute the mic while coughing. Anakin Skywalker is in. Anakin says, linebackers, please get healthy quick. What an environment. Bills Mafia never faded. Packed house in 18-degree weather. When it's uncomfortable for them, it's just right for us. 1-0, bring on the Chiefs. I like that one. How much did you guys love when the Bills scored a touchdown? Like people just tossing the snow into the air like confetti? Like I dug that a lot. I'm a fan.
The only thing hotter is Ryan Fitzpatrick with his shirt off.
It's pretty sexy, actually. Bills Fan UK said, Josh didn't turn the ball over. Nerdy Birdie writes, the people who got hurt on defense need to get right quick. Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. The last time that we played the Chiefs, we did not have Matt Milano. We did not have Daquan Jones. And we did not have Tre'Davious White, correct? Because it was like week 9 or something, right?
And we got Daquan Jones.
We got Daquan Jones back. And we got Rasul Douglas now. We didn't have Rasul Douglas then. AJ Tharp. Yeah, there you go. Win. Victory. Plan on it. Hey, we always joke around about like getting our hotels right now for the Bills parade in downtown Buffalo.
Yeah, that wasn't a joke.
Should we do that like tonight just to be safe, or do we wait for one more win?
Yeah, definitely tonight, not back in April. Yeah, we'll do it tonight.
Is that when you did it last April when you saw the schedule come out?
No, of course not. Why would I do that? That's ridiculous. Well,
hopefully you got a big enough room for all of us, not just you and your wife or something. You know, you got one for all 4 of us.
Ah, I thought you guys were doing the same thing. I don't know what happened.
Yeah, well, you didn't coordinate that well enough. We're staying in a different hotel, I guess. AJ Tharp writes, number 1, AJ Klein off the couch had 9 tackles, 3 times more than Von Miller had all season. Now, I love that. I love that he said that. Real quick, about Von Miller. Von Miller actually showed a little bit of life tonight. Like, he didn't look great, but he didn't look like a tackling dummy out there. Like, he actually made a couple of moves, and he could have sacked Mason Rudolph, but instead decided to shove him, and he didn't fall down. So, but he got some pressure. He got 2 pressures, I think, tonight, which is about 2 pressures more than any other game this entire season.
So, in the remaining games that are left, obviously the most important one being the Chiefs. We don't know if we're going to play after that, but do you think Von Miller is going to be present in any of the next 3 games?
Do I think he's going to show his presence? Is that what you said?
Yeah.
I'm hoping. Don't you kind of hope that tonight is just the start?
Forget about hoping, but what do you think?
I think he's going to continue on this path to a point where maybe he is, if we continue on past the Chiefs, like I think he's going to make a few plays, maybe
so
one
not,
play.
So not that you said past the Chiefs, so not the Chiefs.
I don't think he's going to be the Von Miller that we remember until, I mean, I hate even thinking that it might happen, but he kind of gave us a little bit of a thought that it might happen tonight. So Super Bowl Von Miller, maybe.
Okay, Super Bowl.
Is when he would show up. What do you think?
I don't know. That's why I asked you.
I don't know. I think this is a trend. I think he makes a play or two next week and maybe against the Ravens if he
Texans. Would you rather have Von Miller being active during all these playoff games, or would you rather have like Kingsley Jonathan getting some more experience during these games?
I would have preferred Kingsley Jonathan being in this entire season over Von Miller up until maybe today, but good question. I think Von's trending up, so how could you not play him the rest of the postseason?
All right, we'll see.
We'll see.
I'm hoping. I know you're hoping. I'm hoping too.
Yeah. I just want the offense to actually have to like kind of game plan around him, or at least notice when he's on the field. Like that's what you want. Be like, oh crap, Von's on the field. Like we should, you know, slide protection or something, as opposed to like, oh, who cares? It's just Von on the field. Whatever. Same assignments.
And it's also kind of, we shouldn't be talking about like defensive adjustments and like, oh, this guy should be playing better on defense, where the offense should be scoring 35 plus points every single game.
Yes.
Regardless. We're still putting too much on the defense.
Correct.
Offense needs to do its job.
We're in the weeds. We're micromanaging, yeah, this entire team. But yeah, you're right. The offense should do this. AJ Tharp also writes, number two, Bills are now 6-0 after that hit piece on McDermott. Everyone should be thanking Tyler Dunn if the Bills win the Super Bowl this year. Like, that article might have come at the perfect time. We were all shitting on him. I wasn't, because I like Tyler. I've talked to him on the podcast before. He seems like a genuinely nice person. I have no idea how he is professionally. Maybe he had some beef with the Buffalo Bills specifically, or Sean McDermott, or whatever.
Maybe he did on purpose, thinking that this would be the spark. He's like, you know what? If I put this out there, the Bills could go out the way.
Yeah, yeah. It was the fire that
last desperation attempt.
Yeah.
But they're doing it.
They need to, if that's the case, they need to give him a ring. If the Bills win a Super Bowl, they, you know how they, we said they can give rings to whoever they want. They need to give one to Ty Dunn.
Oh, how can I get a ring?
You got to write a hit piece. Sean McDermott saying that he likes terrorists.
That sounds like too much effort.
Yeah.
Never mind.
You'd have to accumulate a following, all that stuff, blah, blah, blah. Number three, McDermott is working magic with backups on that defense. Give that man his flowers. Absolutely. Let's heal up and bring down Mahomes next week. Love that. Great tweet by AJ. Colby Pleasant says, I can play linebacker. You're probably injured though, Colby, so it wouldn't be much better. Just knowing that all the Bills linebackers and prospective linebackers are all injured. Andrew Ensing writes, great clutch offense, but the injuries are going to hurt more than just this week. Yeah, it's, like I said, it just takes a little bit of luster on this. At Drunk Towns writes, I hope Taylor Swift gets diarrhea from bad ranch dressing next Sunday.
Blue cheese is way better.
Oh, without a doubt. You know what I've been doing lately? John, you might appreciate this. You like spicy stuff. Is I've been adding, when I have stuff with blue cheese, whether it's chicken or something like that, I will add a little of this like sweet and spicy sauce from Aldi. It's like a Polynesian sauce or something. It's almost like sweet chili sauce, and it gives it like a little bit of some heat on it too. Instead of doing Frank's Red Hot, like normally I do like chicken with like Frank's Red Hot and blue cheese. Now I do the sweet and spicy sauce. It's a good switch up.
Is it like a sriracha type of thing, or
it looks similar to a sriracha thing, except it's like it's hot. It's orange-ish in color, but it's got the sweet to it too. It's not like too sweet. It's just got like a hint of it. You know, it's more hot than sweet, but for some reason, I like that combination of sweet and hot. That's like my jam.
What kind of jam do you like?
I'm a grape jam guy myself, but I like it all. I can eat it all. What about you?
I'm not sure. There's like different kinds of jam that I like.
Raspberry? Strawberry?
Raspberry?
Yeah.
Or blackberry?
I've never had blackberry jam, I don't think. Dude, throw it with peanut butter, though. I'm sure it's good.
What's the difference between jam, jelly, and preserves?
I don't know. Let's save that for the next. Let's save that for the episode if they ever lose. We'll save it for the episode.
I'm trying really hard at a tangent. You're trying to get us back on track.
God, I'm trying so hard. I only Trey _TTV says, can the Bills win the Super Bowl without kicking? I don't know. We're going to find out.
Yes, they can. Yeah, absolutely. Josh Allen.
Tyler Bass missed 5 field goals all season, and he missed 2 tonight. So not trending up. Unlike Von Miller, he's like the anti-Von Miller here. He's trending down, but missing field goals, getting our punter injured. I'm just kidding. That's not Tyler's fault, obviously. Louisiana Bills fan writes, injuries are going to be too much to overcome against KC. Psych, we got Josh frickin' Allen, baby. Psych! I like that.
There you go.
He had me in the first half. Not going to lie. Just keep winning, said, any more injuries, and they're going to be looking for fans to play. Never mind, clear snow. Original Hatriot says, Dorian Williams steps up next week with a huge player to leading the Bills to victory. Roll wave. Hashtag Tulane, hashtag roll wave. Yes, I love that. I love Dorian Williams. He's one of my favorite draft picks this season. Just as far as like his upside and where he could eventually play after watching him play and following him in the pre-draft process. I like Dorian Williams. I'm a Dorian Williams fan. Mike Graham says, Josh Allen is him. Playoff Josh, baby. Let's go. Josh, playoff Josh is a different level, man. He used to be kind of mistake-ridden Josh and sugar high Josh or YOLO Josh, but he's been playing well. NBA Hoops Online writes, Bills are better because of struggles, but may have lost too much on the defensive end. We'll see. We'll see. I mean, luckily, this isn't the same Chiefs offense that we've seen, you know, in the past. They're not unbeatable. They're not. I mean, what they score against us? 17 points, right? 20-17 we won. So Swank 24/7, Buffalo Fandemonium writes, Josh is poised and Shakir is for real. I love Khalil Shakir. I've been high on him since the draft process too. So I'm really excited to see what he does this postseason. It was cool. His mom tweeted online when he scored that touchdown. She said, that's my baby or something. It was cute. Crank Deck Killer says, impressive effort by the team, but I can't help feeling a little bittersweet after all these injuries. Yep. Crank Deck Killer. Yep. Me and you both. Crank Deck Killer, me and you are in the same level. We're feeling the same emotions, Crank Deck Killer. Charles Byrne Go Bill says, yes, we won, but it should have been more like 43-17. What is up with Bass? Yep, Mike. To your point, 43-17. And to end this episode of Hot Takes, or this segment of Hot Takes brought to you by the TwinSpire Sportsbook at DeLago, it's Chad Labrie. Chad Labrie says, Allen was great today and look, no turnovers. Offense and defense were playing great. All right, that ends the Hot Take segment. Do you guys have anything else that you want to end the podcast with before we sign off?
Should we have like a cold take segment too?
Do you have a good cold take?
I'm just asking. What's the difference between a cold take and a hot take for our listeners?
I do like that account on Twitter, Freezing Cold Takes, right? So I think it's when people say something that ends up being completely wrong, right? It ends up going from a hot take to being completely wrong into a freezing cold take, right?
Well, hot takes are like, they could be, you could just make outrageous whatever, right? So we could. Anything could be a cold take based off of that.
Well, exactly. That's when they actually get called out for making like
or is a freezing cold take something that's like, oh, this is set in stone no matter what, and then it's wrong.
Yeah, yes, agreed. Like this is like the Bills will not make the playoffs. Like that would have been a freezing cold take because looking back at it from like week 12, if you're like the Bills are not making the playoffs, like that ended up being a freezing cold take, right?
Yes.
If someone, it's usually someone important, not us, someone important seeing it.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah, we shouldn't do the freezing cold takes.
No. We don't want to call ourselves out for the stupid crap that we say sometimes. Like John, you saying that the Bills wouldn't make the playoffs. They won't win another game. They're going to go 9-8.
No, I said undefeated season at the beginning.
So speaking of freezing cold takes, but John said, okay, maybe one more game this season, 9-8. There you go. Not that I'm keeping track or anything. I just, you know, re-listen to these podcasts, so I heard it a couple times. But, Mike, anything else you want to add before we close this one out?
No, it was great game. Looking forward to next week.
Very cool. Well, thank you guys all for listening. Again, this episode is brought to you by the Twin Spires Sportsbook at DeLago, at the DeLago Resort and Casino. This was really fun talking about this win. Obviously, like I said, a little bit of shine, a little bit of luster, a little bit of glitter and glamour taken off of this from the injuries, but we will be getting some of these guys. We should be getting back some of these other guys back this week that weren't there. So hopefully that'll make up for it. Again, luckily, I mean, Bean has just put together such a deep roster that we might be able to weather this storm, at least for the next week, until we play either the Ravens or Houston Texans. We'll see. I'm not taking anything for granted. Going to enjoy this ride all the way through. So signing off for John.
Let's go, Bills, Super Bowl. Enjoy this week. Enjoy the next week. Enjoy the week after that. And enjoy the Super Bowl win. I love you.
for Mike.
You guys know what the line is for next week?
Bills by a billion.
That was my guess. I'm going to go a billion minus one. Hold on. I'm going to pick it up. Do you guys want it?
I'm looking at it.
Oh, okay. Oh, I just found it. Oh. John, what do you think it is?
You saw me to guess. Bills by 2.5.
You're dead on. You're like,
all right.
You're dead nuts on. John, you should be a handicapper. I don't understand how you – I don't know if that job makes any money. Probably not, but
– I think mostly break even.
Who's favored over the Ravens and the Texans, between the Ravens and the Texans?
Ravens and Texans. I would think the Ravens are favored.
They are at home. I might put some money on the money line for the Texans. That might be a good bet. Like, this Texans team might be decent.
You want us to guess? Or
Yes, sorry.
Is Mike already looking at it? I don't know.
I moved on with my life. I read it 3 minutes ago when we started talking
about
it.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah, totally. Me too, totally. The Ravens are favored by...
Let me guess. Okay. Oh, you already said... All right, 9-something. All right. I already heard you say it.
I just started 9, and then
It's either 9 or 9.5.
Well, which one is it? I know, it's 9.5 points as of now. I might put some money on the Texans money line just to see. I can see that one going. Yeah, just to see.
All right, go Bills.
And for me, Nate, go Bills. The Chiefs are going down, Taylor. They're going down. And we'll talk to you guys again next week.
Thank you for listening to the Circling the Wagons podcast. Download and subscribe to us in your favorite podcast service. Email us at ctwpod@gmail.com. That's Charlie Tango Whiskey Pod @gmail.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter at ctwpod. And most importantly, go Bills!
Nobody circles the wagons like the Buffalo Bills.
Nobody circles the wagons like the Buffalo Bills, Nate.
Well, listen, the whole show is called Circling the Wagons. Say no more. I love it.
'Who's Taylor?
Taylor Swift. The Chiefs are going down, Taylor. See, I'm talking to her. Do you see that meme of like they showed in the crowd, like everyone in the Kansas City Chiefs game, like the people in the box and the people in the stands, like swaying back and forth, singing some stupid song in that stadium. And the caption of the meme was like, the Bills need to end this next week. That was funny. I think for once, like, everyone's rooting for the Bills to beat Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift.
I hope they can do it.
I know.
It's been a long time since the majority have been on the Bills side.
I know.
Really long time.
Really long time. The only people that don't want us to win are probably, like, Dolphins fans, right?
Again, well, anyone in our division.
Yeah, anyone in our division. There's probably everyone else wants us to be, and Chiefs fans.
Which is weird, because back in the late 60s, you know, you would root for those teams because you would beat the NFL.
But yeah. It's not really weird because everyone's dead.
Or nobody remembers anymore.
All the people that remembered are senile and dead. Yeah.
There's like a sponsor for the show. There should be like a sponsor for me personally. You should try and get that going. Like, so they deliver me a pizza. They DoorDash me a pizza while we're doing this. And I would just give them a shout out when I see something.
Well, could like, just, they could just pretend that that happened and save the, they would save the footwork. But then you wouldn't get any pizza.
But then when I why would I do it?
for the money.
I'm like, hey, Mike, how's it going? You're like, good. My sponsor of the show is brought to you by.
Yeah, for that 10 cents.
Little Caesars.
Yeah. That's definitely how it would work, yes.
Eating a night. It's great, Nate. It's great. Well, it sounds great, Mike. I hope you're enjoying that pizza. That's brought to Mike by.
Yeah, and you pretend to be eating pizza, but really be a banana or something that you had.
Wait, I don't understand. What do you think I want, and what is your idea?
I just laughed along with it because it was funny, but yeah, that's a good question.
So I'm proposing, just like Nate gets a sponsor for the show, I'm suggesting he get a sponsor for me individually. So same concept. Just more of the benefit would accrue to me.
Only you. It sounds like it doesn't sound like you give a shit about us.
Wait, so to recap, Nate gets a sponsor for the show, and then you said Nate also gets a sponsor for you?
Well, it's like, I didn't think you really got it. You're like, oh, why don't we just fake it? Like, I'd want to do it for real.
No, but he's like, no, I really want.
No, I understand.
You selfish bastard. Yeah, I get it. You want more for you and less for us. I get it.
No, it's not zero sum. It's not less for you.
Mike's like, I get paid $10 each mention. I'll be like, I got $10 less I'm going to pay you.
The part where I got hung up on was Nate was getting a sponsor for you individually as opposed to you getting a sponsor for you individually.
Mike just starts.
Well, if you come across somebody that's not looking to sponsor a show, only wants to sponsor somebody on a show.